Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to giving the ball to their running back on first or second down, meaning they run the football on first and second down with their running backs the least out of everybody in the NFL, the Ravens. Yet when they do it, they're second in yards per carry at 6. The Baltimore Ravens with Derrick Henry? That shocks me.
Shocks me too. I mean, are you kidding me? They got a Hall of Fame running back and a quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame because of his ability to do both better than everybody else. And you're not running the football at all? On first and second down?
Yeah, what I like about this is it just confirms when you get the facts out what we've been seeing. I didn't know that until I just heard it, but I sure as felt it. I felt that they weren't running the ball, and they were certainly not running it enough. And now you hear it, you know, factually correct. It's like, well, okay. So what are we doing about this? We're going to continue? Hasn't worked.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So let's go out to Towson and get Ed. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you feel?
All right. Well, how are you?
I'm good. It astounds me, and I've had some experience with this thing. When Rob said, and this is not, Rob said a little while ago, physical in football. And it's like, Ed, they're synonymous. How can you say physical? Meaning you're saying they're not being physical, but you're playing the sport of football. I can't conceptualize those two things not going together. That's the premise of the sport in itself. So my question is, from a management standpoint, Rob, what are you doing 5 days a week?
Exactly.
What are you doing in practice? I mean, Rob, I had one situation real quick where our field was getting redone, they were resurfacing it, whatever. That's where all our equipment was. Okay, so we still won, but the head coach is like, "Man, we ain't pushing nobody off the ball." Da 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 da. I said, "Okay, if you as an offensive line do not have the proper equipment, and maybe they're too. Maybe when you get on TV, you don't have to drive the sled no more. You don't have to do the shoots, and you don't have to run inside drill, which is how you get more physical. But if you're not doing it Monday through Thursday, you're not going to do it. You ain't going to magic. People think you go just magically. They need to be more physical.
But Ed, I don't think you have to hit the sled and do all those things to be physical. I think that's physicality is also a philosophy. You know this is the standard. This is our standard, to play physical football. I can't hit the sled on that level because it's against the rules. However, Ed, if you know the way we play football, that's the way we play football. You can drive home that message without beating and banging on one another every day. You can also drive home that message in your play calling.
Message?
I mean, we got to go downhill. You can't go downhill if you ain't smashing somebody in the mouth. To me, it sounds more like a thing from up top, and I think that's what Orlovsky is kind of suggesting. Don in Falston. What's up, Don?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Real quick, I'm curious what your guys' take on this is. I'm wondering if, because they're NFL players, right? They should all be wanting to play physical football. I'm wondering if it's a lack of confidence. They don't understand the assignment. They don't want to mess up. And they're, at least on the defensive side.
I think you may be onto something.
I think
there.
On defense, definitely. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think, because you, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I appreciate it. No, and on the offensive side, I'm wondering if it's kind of the same thing. They either don't understand the assignment or the play is not what they're thinking. It's got, you know, I don't know. They're football players.
But I disagree with their football players. They're all physical. All football players don't want to play physical. I disagree with that.
Please,
all football players do not want to play physical football. That's not the truth at all. The greatest show on turf, those receivers used to find the softest place to land or the easiest way to run out of bounds.
The best cover corner I ever saw really didn't like to tackle. Mm-mm. Deion.
Franco Harris ran to the sidelines all the way to Canton.
Right, yes.
I mean,
yeah.
He would get his yards and run out of bounds.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. And I agree with the caller, though, because I think when you are a little confused and you don't know your assignment really well or you're unsure, you don't take that first aggressive step because you're afraid you're going to be out of position.
So true.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen that on defense early last year. And I think he's spot on that part, especially defense. Perry Hall, Frank. What's up, Frank?
That last caller, man, he stole my thunder. It looks like a lack of confidence, big time. The two points. At Lions game, Lamar looked confused. All the offensive plays looked broken. They didn't look like they were planned. He just looked like he was trying to throw when he should have ran, and he looked like he should have ran when he threw. Here's what I want to ask. Roquan doesn't look the same since Zach Orr got here. Do you think there's something to that, or is it
yes.
We're missing Patrick?
Yes.
Teams?
No. No. Yes. I think it's something to that. I don't think he's the guy. I don't know why we're having a hard time figuring this out. When you have to hire someone to be your assistant to get the job done, 2 years in a row, you have to hire a people who used to be DCs to help him do his job, then how about hire those guys? I don't think he's the guy. It seems like we're afraid to say it. You don't hire an inexperienced guy to be your coordinator when you fancy yourself a Super Bowl team. Hire a guy that's done it before. And it just seems to me we have too many. All the problems on defense are the same. It's the coordinator. Jay in Baltimore. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, good morning, guys, man.
Good morning. Morning.
Olasky on or something, man. But I say, man, Fee 22, man. Nobody don't want to hit that big guy for four quarters, man. But switch it to the defense. Yeah, I was looking at it, man. It seems like they don't even play for Orr. Like, I don't know what he's calling, man. They don't have no pass rush, but you run so much zone. Quarterback's going to eat that up at this level, man.
Chew it up.
Chew it up. It's nothing, man. And I've never seen a Ravens defense where they don't – I don't know if I've seen a receiver get jammed at the line of scrimmage in 2 years since Orr took over. It's a lot of 8 to 12 yards off, a lot of mirroring the receivers. You got 5 yards, man. Put your hands on somebody, man.
And that's one of the, I think it's one of the reasons why they've struggled against teams like Kansas City, because when Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid sees it, it's like, you want to give me 7 yards? I'll take it.
I'm taking some seven yards.
And guess what? If you miss a tackle, you know what's going to happen? We're going to pick up a hell of a lot more.
I'm going to take second and four, second and three. I'll take that.
They don't knock anybody off their routes.
And if you listen to Orlovsky's comment about the fact that they're 32nd in running the football in first or second down. 32nd in the league, dead last.
But second in yards per carry when they do it.
Six yards per carry. That means you're starting off with second and four. If my math is 10 minus six,
yeah, it's about
four,
right. Yeah.
Second and four.
Johnny and Dundalk. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning.
Morning.
I keep agreeing with you about four, but the problem with it is when you go back, it's horrible. John Horrible has got that guy. As the coach. So, and it's in a row, John Harbaugh has done that. So, he got to go, man, because if Jeremy keeps giving me bad picks, I'm going to go find a new guy so I can make the money.
Your phone break it up.
That's why he left.
Your phone break it up, man. Your phone keeps breaking up. We're not going to take your calls.
I'm giving him bad picks, and he can't afford the phone bill.
See what happens.
Damn it.
John McClain joins us. He's all Houston Texans. That's at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
All right, so we're going to have some fun as we usually do. We're going to talk about bridal parties, bachelorette parties, and sometimes they hire male strippers. Tell you what happened to one male stripper after an event for a bachelorette party. We're going to talk about, we've always said this before, I don't agree with that, but I understand. We have one that just hits me right in the heart. I'll tell you what the story is, and I'm not even mad at the guy. And lastly, who is Lahore Vagiston? We talk about them next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start it off. Talked about, I understand it's not right, that whole bit, you know. You're like, what was it, the whole, was it Chris Rock that said, was it about shaking a woman?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it, but I understand. Yeah. No, I don't condone it, but I understand.
Enraged pet owner kidnapped the driver that hit his dog and then forced him to dig the animal's grave at gunpoint. Mm. Again, I'm not condoning it, but I do understand this guy. I mean, this is crazy. An unhinged Texas man outraged that his pet dog had been run over, held the driver hostage at gunpoint and forced him to dig the animal's grave. Alberto Joshua Hernandez, 22, allegedly left the driver feeling scared to death when he kidnapped him while he was pulled fixing his bumper after fatally hitting the man's dog. Hernandez stopped his truck behind the man's vehicle and pulled out an automatic pistol, according to police reports. He then forced him to pick up the body of the dog from a nearby ditch and carry it to his yard, according to police. I should shoot you right now for killing my dog. He then confiscated the victim's keys, phone, and kept the gun aimed at him as he ordered the man to grab a shovel and dig a grave to bury the dog. Again, it's not right, but I understand. You run over my dog, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
We are. One of us is getting arrested. it's going to happen. But yeah, this is, again, like, I understand the man was saying he was scared for his life, and it's an accident. You know, you get all that. That's why I'm saying, look, you can't do this stuff, but that man's dog.
It's a dog, man.
That's my dog. All right, let's get to let's get to this next story. I talked about a person that you may or may not know. Harvard professor now, they hired drag queen named Lahore Vagistan.
Hmm.
I think it's French.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It means the whore Vagistan.
Yeah.
Harvard University hired a drag performer as a new professor who's expected to teach a class on TV show RuPaul's Drag Race. How much does it cost to get into Harvard? And you're going to have an entire class?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
On RuPaul's Drag Race? This is something that, like, I remember watching movies, what was it, Blue Chips, where he said, what class are you failing? And he said television or TV. And yeah. It's like, hold on, you have a class on TV and you're failing it? How? It's unbelievable to me that this could actually be a class, but obviously more people want to talk about Lahore. The institution welcomed Kareem, Kubchandani. In a July message to the college community.
Good for you.
He realized the visiting professor, he was a visiting professor from Tufts University. He'll teach studies of gender and sexuality program thanks to the Harvard Gender and Sexuality Caucus. Kubchandani. I think I changed his name like twice. I'm just going to call you Lahore there, Kubchandani. Lahore, a persona that the academic has made an integral part of their academics. This is so crazy. The professor will often lecture in the guise of Lahore. He also lecture at times as himself. It said Vagistan because he sees the subcontinent as one big beautiful Vagistan. He wrote in a tacky self-interview that he did talking about who he is, what he plans to do. My name is Lahore Vagistan. My preferred pronouns are she or auntie. I chose Lahore because my family traces its origins to Pakistan. Lahore, spelled differently, L-A-H-O-R-E, even though he spells it with the W, is an important city in Pakistan. And, well, I'm a bit of a whore, as he says, or she says. Queer ethnography? I don't even know what that word is.
Ethnography?
Is it ethnography?
Probably.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know. I made it up.
In the fall of RuPaul, RuPaultics is what they're calling it, Drag Race and Desire in the spring semester. All right. It's just an interesting thing. It's a new way of life that we're living here. You never know what's going to come up.
Literally. No. Harvard really likes doing this, though. I gotta say, if I was paying $90,000 a year, my kid took a class on RuPaul's show. I think RuPaul's pretty funny, but like, nah.
Yeah. Well, this is this story here. Let's see how you guys feel about this. Male stripper who was at a bachelorette party, jiggled the breast of a soon-to-be bride, was found guilty of sexual assault. Scottish man was told he could face jail time due to previous convictions. And here we go. A stripper has been convicted of sexual assault after courts determined he failed to gain consent from his client to perform simulated oral sex on her and for him to touch her breasts. Stuart Kennedy from Bridge of Don, Aberdeen, Scotland, has been placed on the sex offenders register if he's found guilty of doing these things. The 32-year-old bride-to-be told the trial that she was shocked and felt forced to participate in the strip show, which took place during a pizza and Prosecco party that they had. Despite repeatedly declining her involvement, it's understood that the woman eventually relented to the event, which one of her sisters secretly organized. I didn't think I was in danger, just thought it would be unpleasant and not to my taste. She recalled during the trial, a man dressed in a firefighter's uniform came in. I decided I had to grin and bear it and go through it. It's not my preference, that kind of activity. If you didn't want to do it.
Don't do it.
I mean, look, I get it. The peer pressure stuff, you're in the middle of that. But, like, it's something sexual. And you're getting married. you're having your one last night of sowing those royal oats. And then now this guy said he forced his hand between her thighs and that his first move was to make her simulate giving him oral. I started to comply with him because I didn't know what was going to do next. He still had his trousers on. He had sewn a fake erection into the crotch. Sounds like me on a Friday night. It felt like a beanbag. He was fiddling with my button on my shirt at one point at my cleavage. I don't know. I understand how certain people feel and you're trying to be a part of the party. You don't know how far it's going to go. But when it gets to a point that you're uncomfortable, I don't think everybody's going to be mad if you say, hey, I don't want to do this. Truth be told, bachelor parties and bachelorette parties really aren't for the bride to be. It's for all their friends to go out and have
absolutely
a good time.
Yeah.
It's like you can say what you want, but yeah, it's a reason for everybody to go a little crazy.
Than marriages who want to play.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you feel about him being charged with, like, again, not all the details with sexual assault in this situation? Because I'm assuming in his line of work, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
He is being a little aggressive and presumptuous, but I guess when she, I don't know, proceeded with the first thing that he was doing, maybe he felt comfortable doing it. There's
What's
a gray
he do for
area
a living?
There. He's a male stripper.
Ah. Who hired him?
Her sister.
Ah. What'd you expect?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So now he faces,
I think it's wrong to charge this guy. You know, unless, if he like forced, I mean, held it down and did something. I mean, how, this is a real, this isn't even a fine line. This is why you brought him here.
Mm-hmm.
Come right on.
So they said from a previous conviction that he had, I don't think it's the same thing that they believe.
What
that
are you, blocked of a drug possession or something? And they're going to equate it to this?
I don't know. They don't say in the story what it was. So, but there you go. That's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583.
It's kind of important.
1057.
Yeah.
Mike in Pikesville. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, so my breakdown of the Ravens, just a real quick one. A lot of people are saying, talking about the offense. The offense to me isn't the problem. I mean, the big problem I see with the offense is the line, is the O-line. I definitely, especially with Stanley out, I really see that being an issue. But, I mean, the guys are putting up points. The thing with the offense is the issue that I have with them is they get away from what got them there, what got them successful, i.e., the 8 rushes with Derrick Henry last week. The big issue I see with the Ravens is, just like you said, Rob, Zach Gore just isn't that guy. It's the scheme. They put no pressure on anybody, and really the good quarterbacks, they let Patrick Mahomes, they let Josh Allen. In those games, against Detroit, they let him sit back there and just pick them apart, and you can't do that against good quarterbacks. You just can't do it. And then another thing, and then I'll get off, is what I see, and I'm a little bit concerned about, is I kind of see Harbs losing it a little bit. I mean, he comes out, he publicly flames Monken. When you're really, your offense isn't really doing too bad. You know, we all can see it's the defense. But again, the defense to me, big thing is the scheme. I mean, they're not blitzing. They're not breaking any press.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call, man. I don't know if he's losing it or, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're saying the same thing. Maybe he's starting to feel the pressure. Because yesterday he was asked about Lamar Jackson's injury, and this is the comment that he gave, the response.
How about I just don't say anything? Okay. That's what I would do.
I just don't want to take anything out of it.
Yeah. Why don't we just leave it alone and we'll just I mean, the injury. Thank you. The injury report will be out at 4. Great.
That's not how it works, Harbaugh. Yeah. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? You don't get to tell reporters what to ask and what you can choose not to answer it. But my question to you all, you two, and everybody's listening: do you have a problem with the way John Harbaugh handles these press conferences? The questions about the injuries. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
How about I just don't say anything? Okay. That's what I would do.
I just don't want to take anything out of it.
Yeah. Why don't we just leave it alone and we'll just. The injury. Thank you. The injury report will be out at 4.
Oh, king of the world. King of the world. Two-time MVP. Reports are that he won't play Sunday. Two-time MVP. If you name the top three quarterbacks in the league, if anybody puts that list together, who doesn't have Lamar Jackson on that list?
Nobody.
Exactly. So what you want us to do is not ask you about the possibility of that guy not playing. That's what you want us to do. Do you want us to act like it doesn't exist? How about we just leave it alone? How about no? How about no? How about he's one of the best players in the league? How about, Jeremy, what would the odds be? What would the line be, the spread, I should say, if Lamar Jackson played Sunday?
They would be favored by 9.5.
Him not playing, what are the odds?
They're a 1.5-point underdog.
But you want us not to ask about that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't ask about the most important guy on the field.
A guy that's double-digit difference in how the game is going to be decided. You want us to just act like, hey, you know, no, how about don't ask about it? Okay.
Anything you want to tell us? No? Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
I mean, you've been here so long, I guess you can start the, like, I remember the situation with Brent Harris in that preseason game. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're yelling at this guy? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. I don't get, like, this whole, you got to understand what your job is and what people are going to ask you. You're going to be asked about, you should be asked about Lamar even when you say, I'm not answering any questions about him.
Yeah.
The media members, I mean, if this was going on in New York and he says that to those media members.
They're tearing him apart. My God. They're tearing him apart.
And that's not a knock on the media here. I just think it's a different beast up north.
Well, it is. Very different.
Yeah.
How about if you just give us some transparency? Look, we haven't really decided that right now, whether we're going to play him. It'll play out there in a week.
He knows what answers to give.
Exactly. You've been doing this almost 20 years. So when you don't respond, you're just being an ass. That's what you're intentionally being petty and being an ass. That's what you're doing.
It's just, and you're right, he should know, and someone should tell him, because, you know, when you need the media or when something goes, you know, sideways, you want to be treated fairly. And people think the media is not fair at all, ever. That's not true. Some people in the media suck. I'll give you that.
And look for a reason.
They look for reasons to be jerks and trash everything. Everything's negative. And that's a fact. There's plenty of them out there. But not everybody. And there's a lot of fair people who take journalism seriously. And what happens is, if you have a track record of being snarky or not cooperative, I mean, they're people.
They're waiting for you.
They're waiting. And they're going to wait. And what happens is, the second you stumble, they're going to be on you so unnecessarily harshly that, and then you're going to wonder why. This isn't fair. No, it's not, but that's why.
You weren't fair.
That's exactly what happens. And I'll tell you a quick story. My policy here was the opposite of what they're doing. My policy was with Regina Averella, my press officer, give them everything. Get it out. Give them everything. Give it to them. And I did it, whatever, even including the case they opened up against. I just give it to them. Give them the whole thing. I got nothing to hide. And when you develop that reputation, it comes back to you, because I got ambushed by Chris, Kristen Delkamp. I told you. And she really was unfair. She just was, you know, these ridiculous questions that would just put, I couldn't, it was like, when did you stop beating your wife kind of thing? There's no right answer. And the cameraman grabbed her outside. He said, he didn't deserve that. He's a good guy. She apologized. But that's what I mean about building up goodwill, because she got pulled up for that. Because, you know, if you have a reputation of just being cooperative and being fair with the press corps, they'll be fair with you. They got a job to do, though. And I just think it's a mistake when you start to get like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when things start to go, and they're not going well now. And
exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
This is not the time to do it.
Not the time, bro. You know what I mean? Read the room.
Yeah.
Read the room. You know, listen, I've been on record. People know I don't like John Harbaugh. But I don't look for a reason. I've defended him in the past when people say dumb things and make dumb accusations, because it's not personal.
You just try to be fair.
Yeah. But this is who he is. And this is when you want to, when people ask you, why don't you like John Harbaugh? This is why. This is why. He's an ass. You know what I mean? He's an ass. He thinks he's better than people. He talks down to people. All of those, all of the above is why I don't. Mm-hmm. All of those things. And when he is no longer on top of the world, he can't read the room. Dude, how about be a little humble right now? Mm-hmm. You were asked about arguably the best football player in the league, and you want us to just bow down to you and not ask? Who are you? Answer the freaking question. Or at least lead us in the right direction so we can back off you.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, I think in
I wish this was satellite radio.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what I really want to say right now, man, because it's, honestly, like,
I think people that are constantly dealing with the media and people that are in power, that meaning management and those types of positions, have learned for a long time how to answer your question without answering your question.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of an office going, hold on, am I getting a raise or not? What the hell happened? Did I just take a deduction? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what you were asking for. And you came out of the office going, I don't even know what happened. They just spin it around. I mean, you see, we talk about coach speak all the time, right? And you want a coach to, we can't vilify guys when they're honest about certain things, but I do think we can vilify guys when they do stuff like this, like, oh, hey, if I know when the injury report comes out, hey, why are you going to ask that question? It's like, that's his job.
It's part of your job. And it's actually a little bit worse because when you go to a press conference, and I had a ton of them, several a week I'd have to answer. For years when I was here. You know what the question is going to be. It's rare that something comes from over there in left field. It's like, you know, it's going to be vehicle accidents. It's going to be a shooting that you just got involved. It's going to be some kind of corruption case in the drug unit. You know, when you step up at the mic, it's not going to be, you're going to light blue cars. It's and the same thing here. Maybe the best player in the NFL is hurt. Do you think there's going to be a question about that?
Yes,
of course. That's the biggest topic.
He's the best football player in the National Football League. Now that he's hurt, you don't think people should ask about him. All right. Okay, John. John McClain, veteran writer, joins us at 9 o'clock to talk Houston Texans. But on the other side, is C.J. Stroud not the quarterback we thought he was? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
C.J. Stroud, when we first, his first game against the Ravens, was that his first game ever, Was it early in the season?
It was either the first game ever. I think it was the opening day.
Yeah.
I think it was.
When we saw him, we came to work that next day and said, yeah, that kid's different.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I remember that season. I'm glad we faced him early in the season.
He had the consecutive streak, the longest one, for a rookie quarterback not throwing an interception.
Right. He was different, man. What happened to him?
As I said, if you go back, this is before last week's game, even though last week's game wasn't great. I mean, they won 26-0, but it wasn't like this big offensive output from him. You go back to it, and I was talking about this last week, that his numbers through however many games it was that Anthony Richardson had started, I think he'd played 15 games.
Yeah.
And in his last 15 games, speaking of C.J. Stroud, his numbers were worse than the guy that we all thought was the worst quarterback in the league, and Anthony Richardson with the Colts.
He's deceiving. His completion percentage is the highest in his career, 67.5, but it's deceiving. 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, passer rating of 88.7. Not good. None of those things are good. He, in 4 games, he has 832 yards. Is it CJ, Ed, your opinion, or is it the Texans' offense?
That's just not getting it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I find it hard to believe that he just, you know, has forgotten how to play football.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so I just assume. Listen, I think it's the same situation here. You know, I'm sure it's the same there. He didn't stop being good. I mean, he was good at Ohio State. He was good with the Texans. When we saw him, I was like, ooh, glad we got him now. And sure enough, later that season, he was good. So I just think the team is struggling.
Yeah, but even with the struggles around, you know, Lamar numbers still look great. You know, I mean, he still leads the league in passer rating at 130.5. Man.
Yeah. His first game was against the Ravens. Yeah.
I don't want him to get it together this weekend, but yeah. I hope the kid gets it together. I like him.
Yeah. 28-44 for 242 yards. And his first completion was to himself.
Do you know, I was just looking at Lamar's numbers real quick, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. We keep bringing up he has the highest passer rating of all time. You know what else he has the highest thing in?
What?
Adjusted yards gained per pass attempt of all time.
Well, that's why
it's 8.28.
But this is why, like, all completion percentages are not
are not the same. Yeah. And by the way, he completed 65% of his passes for his career.
Why can't people just praise him like he should be?
I don't know.
Like, why is it so hard? I don't get it. Again, I didn't want the Ravens to draft him. I watched him in year one and said this isn't going to work. Watched him in the first game the next year and through preseason. After he pounded the Dolphins, what was that, 55-0? They put up a double nickel on him. And I went, yeah, something's changed. This guy worked his ass off. I'm done with that nonsense.
Hey, so, Jeremy. Joe, getting back to Coleridge Bernard. There's rumor that there's something going on off the field with him, isn't there?
Yeah, this is what Diana Rossini had to say on Dan Levitard's show the other day.
I'm not in the camp of he's ruining his opportunity here to get some mega extension. I still think C.J. Stroud can play. I just think there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about soon.
That was on the 26th.
Yeah.
Maybe not liking the coaching. Maybe star quarterback upset that you haven't protected him. It could be a lot of things there. Like, if I'm C.J. Stroud, year one, you're looking at it, this is almost... You know what it seems identical to? It's freaking Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Mayfield's first game, he comes in and leads them back against the Jets to win on a Thursday night, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then has a great rest of the season. It's like, oh, maybe we were wrong. This guy is a number one. And then you watch him the next year and you go, did Cleveland do that to him? Like, what happened to him?
And it looks like they did.
He looked pale. He looked like a homeless guy. He's just coming up there like, yeah, it's just... Oh, man. And then now you see him in Tampa Bay, and his teammates love him. His coaches love him.
Yeah.
He's out there, and he's bringing them in, games that they've been down and back to win, finding ways to win.
I like him because he's a little cocky feller.
Yeah. That's
He's a little cocky feller. That's what I love about him. You're right, he looked confused at times in Cleveland, but all along he looked like he gave zero craps.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, and that's what I like. He just seemed unfazed by everything around him. And the fact that he goes to Tampa and bounces back so quickly confirms, hey, I'm not fazed by this stuff. I'm only impacted because you guys suck. Your suckness impacts me. Once I get out of here, you'll see who I am. He got out of there, you see who he is. I think that's a great comparison because I think that would be CJ Stroud as well. I think C.J. Stroud is the business. I think he's the real deal.
Yeah.
I just think maybe the things that are around him, you know, I mean, you have a defensive-minded head coach. I don't know who's grooming him offensively. I don't. I don't know if there's a former NFL quarterback or current or NFL quarterback that has him under their arm. I think the kid is the real deal, and either by leaving Houston or by Houston getting their acts together, I hope he turns it around. Just not Sunday.
Yeah.
Suck Sunday. Continue to suck.
I think we've seen this in so many different quarterbacks. I think he's just the latest one.
Yeah.
And maybe the best one. But I don't know if he's better than Baker.
Baker's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if he's better. I'll take that back. I think Baker's a better quarterback. But there are other examples of guys that leave and all of a sudden you think they suck and they get to another team, like Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold. I mean, there are guys that have just really been terrible. And then all of a sudden they have a new, you know, they put on new colors and somewhere else. I was like, huh.
That's like when these guys get to take off their weighted vest. For Sam Darnold, it was the Jets.
Yeah.
And for Baker Mayfield, it was the Browns.
Exactly, yes.
And it might be for C.J. Stroud.
Daniel Jones was the Giants.
I need to see more Daniel Jones, though, before I'd say it was the Giants. I need to see a little bit more.
I needed to see
Baker for a full year.
I don't need to see more of Daniel Jones to know that he's a middle of the pack guy.
Yeah.
And he's not one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Okay, middle of the pack, I give him.
But if you're going to sit here and start praising this guy, like, oh, he's in the top in passing, he's this, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, let me see a little bit more. Baker is legit. We've seen enough of that. You know who he is. He's top half of the NFL type of quarterback. Top half. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And more towards the top than in the middle, in my opinion. We'll talk a little about Shedeur Sanders. Is he proven why he got drafted lately? I will do that at 9:15. But on the other side, veteran sports writer John McClain joins us.
Yippee-ki-yay.
That's right. Talk about his next movie. No, I'm sorry. Talk about the Houston Texans up next on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.